Okay, with Carl Fallon, Ghost Moving Flowers and Physical Mediumship is the feature
Indeed.
film. Sorry?
Yes, it is. There's a little bit of a delay, but yeah, that's it's a documentary, and I basically came together putting this together about a year ago. That was my first kind of thinking about it. My background is I do a series called Ghost Circle, and the series is about mediums and psychics, kind of like ghost hunting, but it's more from the mediumship angle as opposed to, looking for ghosts. So we would go into a place as psychic mediums as opposed to just general ghost hunters, and we would try to pick up, presences there, information, names, all that kind of stuff, general kind of history information, anything we can get. And our team would go in, and I would be filming, and I would do sound, and I'd also do directing. So it's kind of a small operation, but we put together these episodes, which has been on UK TV, British TV. And I've done five series of this Ghost Circle, and I've done an app, and it's on my website, and so on and so on. So the idea for this came about with some of the footage that I'd taken in some of the experiments that we did. So the format is basically there's kind of two halves to it. The first half, we do the series, is about mediumship, and we kind of pick up what we get, and that's kind of the first team. And then the second half is the other team, like a couple of two or three members, and they go around, see if they can pick up voices. And we also do what's called a psychic experiment at the end of it. Now, the psychic experiment can have a range of different possibilities, and we kind of have a format in which we do this. And one of the subjects that we do is we try to get flowers moving in people's hands, and that's basically the name of the video, Ghosts Moving Flowers. And the physical mediumship, as a subtitle, basically is what this is presenting. So
Gotcha.
it's basically physical mediumship. So it when people talk about mediumship, they talk about clairvoyance generally. But what we do is we do an experiment which will give you an actual physical experience. You might actually be touched. You might be able to touch something, and it feels objective. It's not subjective. It's not an illusion, because people see things, and we're not suggesting what they're seeing, but they're seeing the same thing again and again and again. And we've done hundreds of these different experiments. So from the experiment, we've had footage of people with flowers moving in their hands. Okay. And what I did is I sat down with our main medium, Patrick McNamara, who hosts the documentary. And he and I just discussed all the different possibilities of what we're going to talk about on a documentary. And I basically put together all the clips and the interviews and all the phenomena. And basically, you have this documentary at the end of it, which obviously we're talking about.
So you just to go back, you basically were doing the series, and you kind of found is this almost like a best of the series? You kind of like got the best clip.
It's the best of this part of it. There are other things that we could do as well. Like we get lots of voices on our microphone. Sometimes we could get over 100 different voices. They call them EVPs, electronic voice, or AVP, some people call it actual voice phenomena. But I get so many of this on my microphones, it like gives me a headache sometimes. I just hear so much. I don't know what it is about our team, but we seem to pick up an extraordinary amount of voices on our camera and our
Like, what do you mean by
microphones.
voices? Make people understand.
So what we do is we do question and answers. So for example, if we went into an old building, and we're picking up on the presence of, say, a Georgian gentleman, for example, could be anything. And we'll say, so somebody says, oh, I'm picking up this Georgian gentleman in the corner. And then what we do is we'll say, can you speak to us? And you might hear the word, yes, I will. And then you might say, well, can you give us your name? And then we actually hear their name, like, my name's John. And then sometimes they come back with, like, who are you? What are you doing here? Can you see me? So we get this kind of two-way conversation We can't always hear it. Sometimes we do hear it, but sometimes we get provoked. In other words, things move in the room, we get things fall over, we hear taps and walking around us and stuff like that. So that's kind of the thing with the Ghost Circle series. That's the main thing that we get. And interestingly, sometimes is that when we're picking up the information, we actually hear the guy saying, "Oh, so you are hearing me." So in other words, he's actually saying something to us and relaying back what we've just said. So the two mediums could be talking among themselves, for example, and say, "Yeah, this man, he was a servant, and he used to get abused by his master," and you'd hear a voice saying, "Yes, I was," or something like that. We'll come over the conversation. So it's quite relevant, a lot of the stuff we do, and it can get to a point where it feels like a three-way conversation, although we can't hear him, he can hear us, and then we hear him afterwards when we play back the microphone,
So basically, you're
the
saying
data.
ghosts are real.
100%. Yeah, I mean, when you've been doing it for about 30 years, which I am now, to my lasting days, I've had so many experiences. I've seen so many ghosts. I've had umpteen amount of proofs from just information. Yeah, absolutely, 100%, no doubt.
And how does someone like yourself get into this world? Like, do you remember when you first like thought about ghosts and if they're real, or I'm just curious what your origin story is?
Well, okay, so my story begins when I was a child. I was quite psychic when I was a child, and I was seeing lots of things. My parents didn't understand. They thought I was hallucinating. I was seeing people in my room, and I was having conversations when they closed the bedroom door and all this kind of stuff. And like, who are you talking to? Who's there? So they really didn't understand. They're kind of Catholic religious people. They didn't know anything about mediums or psychics and stuff like that. So they thought I was a bit doolally, a bit mad, kind of, a 3 or 4 year old boy talking like at night. So anyway, they took me to a psychiatrist, a psychologist. I remember I used to go up there on a Friday, and I went on some kind of drug treatment, because I always remember afterwards I used to have to take this medicine. And I said, "Oh, I don't want to take this medicine. It's horrible. It's horrible." And so it's for your own good. And every Friday we go up and we do this with this doctor, and we take the medicine during the week. And after a while, I was miraculously cured, as they say, and I didn't say anything. So then in my late 20s or my early 20s, I met a medium. I was in a trip to London, and I got chatting to him, and he started telling me about myself. He didn't even know me. I just walked into a bar, and I was speaking to my friends who were actually going back to university. We were kind of doing some work experience in London. And he started telling me all these different things, and he brought up my grandfather. I didn't know who he was. I mean, he wasn't just giving it to me, he was giving it to some of the friends I was with as well. I mean, I literally came from one side of London to the other side. I'd never been there before, and the guys hadn't been in the bar before, and they just got chatting to him, and I got chatting to him, and suddenly things started happening. I did a little bit of meditation. I just read a book on it, and within a week I was seeing a ghost at the end of my bed. Literally, this guy standing, must have been like 6'2". He's wearing a suit and a tie, very clean cut guy. And I absolutely, as they say, SHYT, I crap myself
And
basically.
how old were you at the time?
I was 21 then.
Okay. Still young. You're still adults. Very young.
But I mean, like, there was somebody standing on my bed, and I was like, he was there for like 10 seconds and he just faded. And it's like, oh my God, this is amazing. I was scared, but I was also exhilarated. So then I did it again, and then I saw another ghost at the end of my bed, and it was a young girl, complete opposite of the man. She must have been about 5 foot something, one, maybe two, because I could tell, because there was a wardrobe behind where they, or in front of where they appeared, and the girl was like halfway up, and he was like near the top of it, so I could tell the height of it. And I could see her, and I would say she was a Sikh lady or a Sikh girl. She had very long hair down the back of her back, and she was looking at me and smiling, and just a very pretty girl standing in the corner, I'd say in her 20s maybe, that kind of age. And then she disappeared, And then from then on, just like lots of things like that happened to me all the time. I had kind of out of body experiences, and it's like I opened up like a flower again. It's like I've been closed for, I don't know, 18 years or something, and then I opened up again. And from then on, I was just like, it was just full on, just like seeing things.
And this is the hottest, then how does that turn into you? Like, because there, obviously there's avenues you can go from a capitalistic
Yeah.
standpoint. You can become a
Yeah.
medium, a psychic, and then why did you go into like storytelling?
Well, see, the thing is my background is IT. I'm an electrical engineer. I've done physics and chemistry, and maths. So logically, it's not the kind of thing engineers or scientists go near. That's just the way it is. It's not a bad, but it's not good in your career to talk about these things. So my direction of IT is where I went, but I did this as a separate kind of what's the word? Kind of like a hobby. So I used to meet people who were psychic, and we kind of first started kind of late in my late 20s when I went and did a what they call a psychic circle or a seance, as they call it these days. So in that psychic circle and seance, we all started just to see if we could open up and explore the psychic side of things. And we started picking up on things. And every now and then I give some information that people say, well, how did you know that kind of thing? It's like, so I was picking up clairvoyance. And then after a while, I started filming. I basically bought a camera and started filming what we were doing. So it was very early days. We're talking like 2005, 2006. And I was filming it, and I kept getting things picked up on the camera. There was like orbs and things. People say it's dust. Yeah, it can be dust. I agree with that. But when you get a light appearing on the camera when you're asking a question, like, can you appear to us? And then you see this flash of light on the camera. And when you get a voice on the camera as well, you kind of say, well, okay, there's something here. You know, I'm not saying that everything that goes bump in the night is a ghost, but when you discount everything else, as they say, the only thing that can be left is it must be true in some sort, whatever that is. Okay. And what I understand is that there's all this energy around it. And when you do a circle, as they call a seance or a circle, it's like a magnifying glass, right? We don't understand it, but it's like a conscious magnifying glass where you magnify this energy that is dispersed, and it can cause phenomena or different kind of things to happen because of this circle. I don't know what it is, but it's a conscious magnifying, that's what I call it myself, of things. And the energy is focused, and it's only focused for a certain amount of time, because eventually that energy dissipates because of people's tiredness or just the length of the energy. It can't be ongoing. It's not perpetual, basically. So the energy is there and things happen. So as we explored this, we went along and we refined things. We decided, let's do some experiments. And one of the experiments we did one day is we tried to get a flower moving in this guy's hand, and his name is Ben, and it's on the film. And in the first 5 or 10 minutes, you see Ben, and he's given this flower by Patrick, and it starts moving in his hand. And the reaction of Ben is just like unbelievable. Like it, and even us, like even to this day, every time I watch, it's like, wow, that's so cool. And that was the kind of the first time it happened. And we tried it again and again, and it just happened again and again. And then we decided, what we do is we'll go out and film in different locations. And we started to get people in the different locations involved in it. So like, we would go to a hotel, and we'd speak to the staff and say, do you want to do this, like, experiment later on? And they say, yeah, you'll have to wait till we're finished. So we'd always end up doing this kind of late psychic experiment, like at 12 midnight or 1 in the morning sometimes, when they've cleaned up and shut down everything. And they're fascinated, and we get all kinds of reactions. And I put these reactions on the documentary, so you can see, they're real people. We just turn up and they just take part, and they just things happen. It's just the way it is. We don't know why, we don't know how, but it just happens.
So yeah, so then I guess like basically it leads to the answer to the question, what happens when you die? Something happens, I guess, right? You just don't
Well,
die.
yeah, One thing I can definitely say happens is that your consciousness survives. Okay. So you as an individual, me as my name Carl, I survive in some way. How I survive, I don't know, but from what I understand, from knowledge come back from the afterlife, if you want to call that, you have a body of pretty much looks the same as you, but you become younger, back to an age that you want to live in your best prime, maybe 20s or 18 or whatever you want. But you eventually, your body goes back to a period where you're at your youngest and peak self, okay,
Not
whatever
your
that may be.
mind, hopefully, because you're kind of done when you're.
Well, it's a bit strange, but you have all your faculties. So, in other words, if you lost an arm, you get your arm back. If you didn't have good eyesight, you get your eyes back, you get your hearing back. So, all your physical impairments go because you have what's called a spiritual body or an etheric body, okay? And that body is complete and it's perfect, you know? The problem you have is the mental aspect. So, for example, you take all those thoughts and all those feelings and all those desires and all those horrors and all those happiness with you. So you have everything that you thought of. It's kind of like when they say the life review, that is there present with you, from what I understand on the other side. So when people die and they're evil, they're still evil. When people die and they're good, they're still good. But what happens is you transition to different areas of what they call heaven and hells. I'm kind of getting into kind of spiritual talk here, but my understanding is you go to a spiritual heaven and hell of your own creation, but there's always a way out of it. You're never going to stay there, right? So no matter how bad you were, how bad a person you were, you'll always be able to be helped out of that. And there are people there to help you out of it. So when we come across ghosts in these buildings, some of them have been there for hundreds of years. Some of them have been there for 10 years. Some of them have been there for a couple of years. I mean, we went to one called the New Inn. And this guy committed suicide, and he came over on the tape, and Patrick was picking up. He said, "This guy, he only died a few years ago, and we got his name on camera, on voice, a microphone." Whereas we've been to a building, and there's a monk in an old building that's like 600, 700 years old, and he's inhabiting the cellar, and he's trying to protect a religious book that he buried when the king dissolved the Church of England in England here, Henry VIII, and he's saying, "I'm protecting the book. I'm not going to let them get the book. It's precious," and he's protecting that book. So he's still there, like 500, 600, 700 years later. It's crazy, but from a time point of view, time has changed on the other side from what we understand. So you could be there for years. You could be there for hundreds of years. So, but you also move on as well. You don't stay there.
So you're it's I did the question of judgment, meaning that you're talking about someone's good, someone's bad, like who's judging that? Basically, what I'm trying to say is that
They
you're
are,
saying that
they are, they are, they are.
that's what I'm saying, the individual is, right?
Yeah, the individual. Because what happens is you're confronted with your thoughts. This is where people get confused about God judging you. It's not about God. You are God. You judge yourself.
I
You
agree.
know when you've done wrong, and you know when you've done right.
Well,
You know
but at
when you've
the
done
same
wrong.
time, if you're a narcissist and you have a certain personality defect, you don't know
Yeah,
that you're.
yeah. No, you don't. No, but you're mentally ill. So what happens is you go through a phase of learning from the other side as well until you get to a really realize if you haven't learned the lesson here, you'll still carry on and be a narcissist in another world. You don't change your spots overnight. Like a leopard doesn't change his spots overnight. So what happens is you confront other narcissists, right? So in other words, you'll meet bad guys of a you kind of tend towards a vibration of your own making. So in other words, you kind of hang around or hang in areas. It's very complicated to explain, and you probably don't have to believe me, but this is what I understand, is that you graduate to your own hell or your own heaven, right? And you graduate to your own kind, your own likeness to like. So let's for example, there's areas, what they call regions of hell on the other side. They call them hell regions, where good spirits go down to the lower regions and try to help people who want to come out of there. But the people in the hell regions, as far as they're concerned, they're still, they're in hell and they don't care, and they just carry on being tormenting each other. You know, they can fight each other and suffocate each other, but they can't kill each other. That's the thing on the other side. They cannot kill each other. They can only make them go unconscious for a certain amount of time. So you can't kill what they call a spirit. You can only make it go unconscious. Crazy stuff, but that's what I understand. And I've been investigating this for 30 years, and this is the kind of knowledge from reading hundreds and thousands of books, thousands of books, and getting the same kind of information coming from different sources and different mediums and trance mediums. I've seen so many much stuff. It's just ridiculous, you know. I've been very lucky. And the result of it is that I tried to leave my life the best way I can. That's just be good and help the others along the way.
Yeah.
Don't do bad, basically, as they say in Google. Don't do bad or don't do evil. I know they're not probably the best quote, but that's the best quote I can think.
So what percentage do you think of mediums, not psychics, just mediums, which is industry, people, it's a $1 million industry.
Yeah.
Are good, are like real, we are not frauds. How are genuine mediums can do what you do?
Less than 1%.
Less than 1%. So you're saying 99% of them are frauds?
No, I would say they're clairvoyant, but they don't expand enough. It's about the expansion of the consciousness. And I think to do that, you have to be really, really sensitive. You have to be a sensitive person. It's about taking on board like huge amounts of information and being able to process it like a computer. And there's only so many supercomputers around that you can do that. And I would class mediums, really good mediums, you can do that. You'll know when it's a good medium. You'll know when it's a good
but
medium.
I'm not saying that
mediums are frauds. I think most people go into this as being trying to be genuine. I don't, and the cold reading thing, that argument about cold reading and suggestion, it's just bunkum, really. I mean, it's used so much by skeptics. It's just ridiculous. When you meet a real medium, yeah, I know it can be very general. Oh, yeah, I've got your mother here. I've got your great-grandmother here, yeah. All that stuff, you know. I've had that, right? But when they pick up certain things that are just, like, so specific, you kind of say, well, okay, you're onto something here, you know. I mean, I had a reading with a lady I've never met before for half an hour there in March. And the stuff she was coming up with, it was like absolutely brilliant. And she kept saying to me, don't tell me anything. That was her first thought. And I can put you in touch with her. She would just say, don't tell me anything. Just say yes or no, right? And don't answer my questions.
Can you name who she is?
Yeah. Her name is Mercedes Garcia.
For some reason, the name gave me a red flag, but I'm going to have...
Mercedes Garcia, she's a Spanish lady. She works as a teacher. She's London-based in the UK. And you can set up a reading with her. She charges, like, I think it's 40 quid for half an hour, something like that.
That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? Most of these
it
guys,
is, yeah, 40 quid.
$100 range.
And she'll just do a Zoom call with you, right?
Yeah.
And... she won't ask you any questions. I'm not going to tell her. I don't even know her, but, you know, I've got her number now. But, you know, I don't know her. But she was recommended to me, and I thought she was excellent, brilliant. She picked up on so many different things. Amazing. Like, even down to something that happened when somebody died with me that nobody else knew about. Like, it was like, wow, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah.
Because I've done it
I've
twice.
Had two people die.
I've done it twice. Yeah. And the first one was like, no, it was like it didn't even last 10 minutes because I was like, I said, no, that's not. She was talking about something about my mom and had nothing to do with anything. Right. And and I'm like, no, that's not true. And then she stopped it. And then the other one was pretty cool. Like, it was like I was on a little like zone. You don't even get in those zones. And it was talking about something about my grandma who I never met. And it made a lot of sense. Right. So, but
yeah.
What happens, though, is that, generally speaking, is that I think a lot of these people go to the mediums because they lose somebody, right, close to them, and they're trying to deal with their their grief,
Yeah,
right?
I get that. I get that. I totally get that. Yeah. I mean, they provide a service. I know people say, oh, it's all fraud. It's not. I mean, I can tell a good medium and a bad medium, I don't mean to discredit bad mediums. I'm just saying that they need to, I think they have talent, but they just need to work on it harder. It's like a bodybuilding, right? You can be skinny and lift a few weights and say you're a bodybuilder, right? But when you're Arnold Schwarzenegger, there's no doubt, right? You just take one look at Arnie and you can see, and it's the same with mediums, there's a limitation with some of them, and then they're just massive. Some of them are just amazing, really, really good. I can give you a few other good mediums as well, but if you want to try Mercedes Garcia,
See,
I only had a
it's
reading.
more for my, it's like oh my.
I think it's, I think her website's something like Mercedes
No, I'm
Garcia
on it right now.
Psychomedia.
Mercedes Garcia
Garcia,
Medium dot UK. I'm already on. I'm already there.
that's it. There you go. And she has her number there as well. You can say Carl recommended you. Carl. Yeah, with a K.
Carl, okay, cool. I did an interview
Go
with
for it.
them, and no, it's like I just find it, I find it interesting, because I don't think that it's not, like I said, I thank you for asking that, answer that question, because I don't think it's a black and white
Yeah.
thing, right? Where
It's
like
not. It's not.
anything that makes money fast is gonna,
Yeah.
there's gonna be frauds.
Of course. But I've seen mediums who don't make money. See, this is the thing. I've seen mediums who just like help people, so, but
So
you never
they're
hear
like
about
the
them.
Jesus of mediums, I guess, right?
Well, there's some mediums who just don't go out and charge. They just give a reading, and they do it as. See, the thing about mediumship, it's supposed to be about service, okay?
Yeah.
It's a service industry. It literally is a service industry. And the thing about service is they are providing a service. Sometimes it's psychological, like you said, and it's grief counseling to a certain extent. Because where do people turn to when somebody dies, When that happens, it's so tough, And you're just looking for that little snippet of. Especially
Yeah.
when you lose a son or a daughter,
100%.
I mean, it's unbelievable, unbelievable. And you get that little bit of information, and it makes your world change overnight. When it works, it's amazing. And
Because a lot of,
I won't.
well, there's
Try,
different types of grief, but I think when someone loses someone close to them,
yeah.
like a love of
Oh,
their
yeah.
life or whatever, is that, and it could be a
Yeah.
son, it could be a mom, whatever. It's like they don't know how to deal, right? Like their world is
Absolutely, yeah.
shattered. They're looking for some sort of inkling that that their loved one is there. There's the loved ones watching them, right?
Absolutely. And I think mediums and psychic get a bad press, and sometimes rightly so. I've seen people who are good mediums cut corners. Maybe they pad it as they go. There's a thing we call padding where they don't have anything, and they're sort of saying things to try and build it out, it's like, and it's like crushing, because you're hoping to get a connection with a, say, a spirit, or you're trying to read somebody's aura. So people don't understand that you can read somebody's aura, right? This halo around them, and you can pick up things from them, but you can also communicate with a spirit, which is mediumship. So that's a disincarnate person, right? As opposed to having something in your aura, like, oh, you're ill and you've got a problem with your head and your ears aching or whatever. That's kind of more like psychic,
Yeah.
aura reading. So, and some people, because of just the conditions around them, maybe the person's really negative, so they put up a shield, and then they're not getting enough information, because people can shield, like they've got this blocking mechanism. So you don't get anything for them, and they don't understand why. They just keep thinking, oh, this person's a fraud, and they don't get anything. And then the next person comes along, they get loads for that person, the next person. So it's very, very difficult. It's all about psychology, and from the point of view, mind to mind reading.
But there's all, it's also
It's all about
connection too,
conditions.
right? Meaning that
Yeah,
like
yeah.
certain people you meet, you just like they're a nice enough person, but you don't have an emotional connection with them. Then some people you meet,
No, yeah.
like, oh, there's something
And you
interesting.
get on like a house on fire.
Yeah.
Exactly. You get on really well with them. So tomorrow I'm going to what's called an open circle in like a local church here. It's a spiritual church, not a religious church. And what they do is basically sit you down and they just ask you what you get. They just see if you're getting some information. And just these people turn up. Like I did it about a month ago. It was a friend of mine said, "Oh, they're doing this open circle," and I said, "Oh, I'll put my hand in there and just give it a go." And I started getting information and giving it just like that, you know. But I can give really good information when I want to. I can be really, really good, and then other times I can struggle. So, you know, it happens to me. But I don't do it for a living. You know, I don't charge money for it. My area is IT. That's my bag, as they say. Information technology, computers. That's me.
You got the TV show and you got this movie, which is going on the festival circuit. What's next? What's next for you?
I was thinking of doing another documentary about maybe the EVPs and the voices we capture. Some of it's really, really interesting, and I might do a documentary about that. I've also got some stuff I put in the can about ghost stories, real ghost stories. One was involving our civil war in England here, not the American one, but the English Civil War. We used to go to different locations where a lot of civil war battles happened, and we would get these stories from people who were living there, or like people who were museum caretakers or whatever. And they say, "Well, I was upstairs last night, and I saw this soldier at the end of the corridor." I said, "What are you doing here?" And then he disappeared. Like, you know, I mean, when you have that kind of evidence, you know, and they're describing it, and then another night somebody sees a soldier again, like in a different location, you know, and this building's closed up, it's secure, there's nobody there. When they go to check, because they're security people as well, you know, when they go to check, there's nothing in the room. So we pick up these kind of stories, and I've got lots of different stories I could put together as a documentary. That's another one I was thinking of doing.
What
So yeah, lots of stuff.
you made me think about something. What was the I think it was in the 80s where there was the coal mining area where all those kids died in the schools.
I remember that, yeah.
What about kids? Like, or is there like when they if they die like they get like they die young?
Generally, what happens is they grow up in spirit. That's what I believe happens, I was told. So they're taken care of by usually somebody they know. So they might have an aunt or a granny, or somebody comes close to them that they know, or somebody is appointed to them as a guardian, as like a father figure or a mother figure or whatever. But they grow up on the other side, and they'll play with kids as well. So they'll have fun just like they did as a kid. So what happens is kids who die, they'll all come together and they'll play just like they used to, but they'll have that feeling of missing from their mother or their father or their brothers and the sister. So they'll visit the people, you know, and when they think about them, because when you think about somebody's past, they pick up on that thought, right? And they also pick up on the grief and and from what I understand from spirit side, it's like a pull. Think of like a gravitational pull. When it's so heavy, they're pulled back to that situation, and after a while, they don't want that. They want you to release them. So when they say, "Kind of release me," what they want you to do is try and give acceptance. Do you understand what I mean? So they're not
100%.
pulled back, and what they want to do is they want you to be. Sorry, I'm getting a bit emotional, but they want you to be happy, right? And you can only do that when you have acceptance. And then they can release themselves and you. But they'll always be with you, and they'll always hear you. They pick up on your thoughts. So yeah, sorry about
Well, you
that.
just talked about dealing with grief, right? And I think that you nutshelled it, meaning that, but easier said than done, right? And I think what the theme, what we're talking about and what this is all about is that certain cultures, yours and mine, don't really deal with death that well,
No, we
right?
don't. We don't. We don't. No. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I
And
mean,
so
it's always the thing. It's like, what do you say when somebody dies? It's that old thing. Oh, and you kind of walk across the street and somebody's died. Who you know has had a loss. Because you don't know, you don't want to go over and kind of like you don't know what to say. But those people, they just want to have a normal conversation. They just say, "Oh, well, I was out shopping, you know, or you know, I'm going to see Mongol gym or whatever, you know. So if I come across that myself, I just try to be normal. I, you know, you don't crack jokes and stuff like that, but you try to kind of make it a bit light, lighten the load a little
Yeah.
bit, you know, because they're suffering and they don't want depression all the time. They want to lift their mood. So sometimes a good laugh is actually probably the best medicine, as they say, you
I think you're 100% right. I remember when I was 19, I was working in a grocery
know.
store, and my coworker, his their da young daughter passed away, like very young newborn. And I talked to this guy every day for years, right? And I just couldn't. I would avoid him.
You'd
I
avoid the
just
con
couldn't
yeah,
talk
of
to him,
course.
right? And he came to me
You
and said,
do.
put his arm around me, and it's like, we have to be normal. Like, you can't do this, right? Like, he was the mature one. Where, like, you're right. It's like, it's just so, like, you don't know how to deal with it. Like, especially it's a maturity thing, but it's also like, you could be 60 years old and not know how to deal with it, right? Like, it's like, you see that. Like, people are so weird at funerals. Like, they're laughing and they're like, it's just, they don't know how to be, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing is from my point of view, I can help people who've had a loss because I've had two losses myself, you know. A very close friend died with me, and also my dad died in my arms as well. So, you know, I've had it, and but I understand what goes on the other side, the communication, and they live on. That's the thing. I know they live on, and the whole idea of putting this documentary together is. People say, well, you know, it's all bollocks, and you know, he somebody got credit card details, and they gave him the information and all that stuff. You know, I've heard it 100 times, but when you see a flower moving in somebody else's hand, not my hand, not medium's hand, but somebody else's hand, and they just walked into the place, tell me how that happens, right? Tell me that happens, and they also have experiences where they can feel heat where it's cold, and they get touched on their arm. And they can feel like a bodily shape, or they can feel a pressing, or they see a face over somebody else's face. Flowers are moving in the hand. It's like, and they can feel the flower moving in the hand. They can feel an energy going through their hand. It literally like a zing, and they feel like a magnetic pull, like on a magnet, and then it takes off. You know, we have all these reactions. That's a physical experience. This is a physical mediumship, which nobody does, and that's why I created the documentary. To show that there is more to this than, you know, just clairvoyance and you know, information that you can get physical things happen if you make it.
Well,
You
on
know?
that note, thank you for your candor and thank you for your time. Fantastic film. And thank you for submitting. And hopefully, maybe we'll be able
Yeah,
to
no
talk when
problem.
your next film is made.
Yeah, no problem. Great. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you.